Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. But if you want to jot that phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And once again, when you hear the sound of the radio going back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that they're on, we'll put you on there live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. And our guest today, Josephine County Sheriff Dave Daniels in studio. Sheriff, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Thank you for taking time out today.
Ah, Chuck, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the invite and thanks for having me.
All right. First of all, anytime I have one of the commissioners or city councilors in here, their first priority always is public safety. And you're in charge of public safety for Josephine County. What is the state of safety here in our county, Sheriff?
You know, it's really good. I mean, it's getting better is what probably even a better term. There's such a history in Josephine County for public safety. You know, you go back to 2012 when the public safety just fell off the cliff. And, you know, not very often do we ask for backup in public safety from our citizens.
I was with the sheriff that night, and his face was blanched, just pale.
It was scary.
It was scary.
And that's actually why I ran for sheriff in 2014 and was elected in 2015, just because the state of where we were, I had a choice to be part of the problem, part of the solution, and I wanted to be part of the solution. So, you know, next man up type situation. But, you know, like as going back, not very often do we ask for backup from our citizens. We ask them to be the eyes and the ears. But, you know, when it comes to certain things like the support and in particular the funding support, we called for backup. And in 2017, we were successful in a jail levy. So we were able to use some of those funds to start enhanced patrols. 5 years later, 2023, it was renewed at 93 cents per thousand. The citizens did it. Actually, it was, 23. Well, maybe it wasn't 23. It was 5 years after 17. But anyway, in 25 is when I think the service district passed. And that was another call for backup. And it really stabilized us. And it's been beautiful ever since. We're just working to increase our services, make them stronger, make them better, get more proactive. And we're really doing that. I will tell you, it's been a struggle hiring, finding people, law enforcement across the nation. This isn't just a local epidemic. It's actually across the nation where people aren't quite as interested in getting into law enforcement. Benefits maybe aren't worth the risks or the money's not there, other opportunities. So that's been the struggle, but we have been persistent. We don't hire second best. We go for the creme de la creme. So we're willing to be patient. We're getting there, and it's a great thing to where now we're at 24/7 patrols. Literally, Sunday was the first day for our first major crimes detective, coming in, and we're going to have another one of those. Our JMET team, our marijuana team, is at full funding through the grants. Criminal Justice Commission, we're at, full capacity now in all those positions. So it's been just an uphill climb. And it's been steep, but it's been so worth it. It's been so worth it. And we're just looking to keep going. You know, you said a minute ago that the commissioners, you know, have come in and they're always supporting law enforcement. Well, it didn't happen 100% back with our previous commissioners. They supported us a little bit, but they dropped our funding down in 2023, I believe it was, about $3 million out of the general fund support that historically we received. And that was because I think the Law Enforcement Service District passed. Well, that Law Enforcement Service District was not, it was supposed to enhance service. It's not to stabilize and maintain current levels of service. It was supposed to make it better. So, you know, I made a promise to almost every community forum and community meeting that I went to try and promote that service district, and said if that happened, because there was a question every time, that if that happened, I would fight like heck. I didn't say heck, but I'll say fight like heck on the radio.
I appreciate that.
And so it's been a battle, but I did. And we did. And this year in our budget presentation, we were successful in doing so. And we have an allotment of 10 new FTE positions. Could be 9 based on economy and wages and things like that, through contracts and whatnot. But, you know, I'm going to enhance patrol. I'm going to enhance our detectives division. With those numbers, it's going to take a little time. It might take up to a year. It takes about 11 months to hire somebody and get them up and trained and on their own. But that's going to happen. And so, you know, thank you to the commissioners and the budget committee for this year supporting, truly supporting law enforcement and getting us back to the historical level of general fund support in addition to the law enforcement.
Yeah, that district. money that the previous commission took away after the district passed has been reinstated.
Yes, it has. Yeah. Absolutely, it has. Back to historic levels. That happened just this year. And so kudos to the current commissioners for recognizing that. And that's been my plight for 2 years to get it back to that. Because, again, it was for enhancement. It was not for just to create a little bit of a foundation.
All right. Sheriff, you wear many, many hats here. Let's talk about some of those hats right now. Well, first of all, let's talk about patrol and what is going on out there. And we know this past weekend, you alluded to the fact that you pulled out your major crimes detective this weekend. Now, I'm not asking for details on that.
Sure.
What exactly goes into a situation like that, and what kind of resources do you have?
Well, it's a homicide, and the resources are you it's calling all cars. So, you know, the first thing we do is get our people lined up and in position, and then we contact the Oregon State Police. They have been great partners for us. They have a great detectives, a very professional detectives division down there in Central Point, and they come up with open arms, and they're willing to help and even lead the way if we ask them to. And that's exactly what took place in this last scenario. So it's a great partnership. But patrol, you know, we do the best we can. Currently, our staffing level on patrol is obviously, again, 24/7. We have about four persons per team. So there's four teams that work, you know, they rotate. And we're looking to enhance that. I'd like to see somewhere five through seven would be a really ideal number for Josephine County and the population we have when you look at the national data, what it should be. It's still not quite there, but it's hey, this is Josephine County, and we'll take what we can get and be thankful and grateful for on a bended knee.
All right. We mentioned that there's lots of different things out there, and we've kind of alluded to, and hasn't been in the headlines as much as recently, but let's talk about marijuana and the illegal grows that you have to deal with here. And what does that operation look like? You've got what, JMAT is under you, is that correct?
Yeah, Josephine Marijuana Enforcement Team, yes.
Correct.
Yeah, that is a very interesting arena. It has changed and evolved over time, and the bad actors have adapted, and therefore we have to adapt to that as well. Initially, when the marijuana and the green rush really hit, it was just huge plantations on massive amounts of ground, and they made a mistake, and they put all their eggs in one basket in a lot of different circumstances. That has really manifested to more of a diversified type of a situation, to where they're not putting all their eggs in one basket. The cartels, bad actors, will come up and they'll buy, you know, anywhere between 5 and 10 small parcels. And knowing that we're overwhelmed and we're not going to be able to hit that, because there's a lot that goes into that type of investigation with, obviously the investigation itself, and then search warrants, and then the operation to conduct the search warrants, and then the follow up investigations after. It just takes a lot of time. So, they know we can't hit them all. And on top of that, another way they've really, changed the landscape is to go to OLCC permits. They get these OLCC permits, makes it very difficult for, and I'm not telling any secrets here. This is very well known by those in the industry, that they get those permits and they overproduce. And a lot of that production goes to black market. I'm not going to say all of them are dirty that way, but I can tell you, I know for a fact that many of them are. And that makes it very difficult for us to conduct and gain probable cause and get into those operations on the back door. I would really like to see some legislation. And I've been in contact with two different representatives to try and enhance the penalties through the OLCC and the state regulations to impact that, to shut down those operations. I mean, there was a grow this last year that was out of compliance, and they were penalized, and they pulled their license. OLCC pulled their license for 2 months. Well, they happened to pull in December and January. Well,
nothing's growing then.
Right. I mean, it's ridiculous. So things like that are very, very frustrating to us. And so I'm hoping that our legislature, in combination with some law enforcement support, can try and impact that. But that's where we're at. We're fully up and running. We're fully functional. We've already done one operation this year that was very successful. And we have every intent on continuing that throughout the growing season, all the way to and including, you know, late October, November.
All right. So with all of those, it used to be huge. Is it still as huge as it used to be, and just in a different area?
I would say yes.
What's the situation?
Yeah, I would say yes. I think it's still there. It's just spread out more. It's more. I mean, they're trying to. It's more clandestine is probably the word I'm looking for. They're hiding behind the scenes, but yet still kind of in plain sight.
And we're still dealing with cartels.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's I don't want to pinpoint exactly that. I think I'll leave that out of it. But yes, drug trafficking organizations and cartels are definitely still here in Josephine County.
All right. Do you have enough to combat it? Do you need reinforcements? What is the situation?
Well, do we have enough to combat it? No. I mean, we don't. There's not enough of us. There's more of them, for sure. As far as the operations are concerned, we do reach out to our partners in Douglas County for help on occasion. We reach out to our partners in Jackson County for help on occasion, and we conduct operations, you know, with both counties, because a lot of times there's bleed over. So you have operations that are here, they're there, and they're both connected, because that's part of the diversification process where these people spread out and makes it very difficult for all law enforcement. So there's a lot of collaboration, and we work very, very well with the other agencies.
All right. Are you happy with the results so far? Or is it still frustrating?
It's still frustrating. Happy is not a fair word. I don't know that I'll ever be happy. I'm happy with the individual operation.
You're just like putting bad guys away. I know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if, you know, if they commit the crime, you have time to do a little bit of time.
You told me that once when you're wearing a different uniform, as a matter of fact.
Well, I probably did. That's kind of my job. And so we promote safety, promote public safety, promote law enforcement, promote community. And that's part of it, taking down the bad guy.
All right, Sheriff, let's move to another different area right now, and that's the jail right now. Mm-hmm. We see here on our news reports almost daily that people are arrested, taken to the jail, and then released due to lack of resources.
I
know that's probably a sore spot for you.
It is a very sore spot for me. And you talk about Measure 110 and the decriminalization of drugs, and then you go to the next level when they did deflection. And then on top of that, here we go. Senate Bill 48, it took away local control. I used to have the ability to take someone into custody, and it was truly, truly, to a certain extent, up to me, the sheriff of the county, to say, okay, no, this bad actor is going to stay for 2, 3, 4, 5 days. They're going to get a timeout. They're going to get sober. We're going to give them some, you know, options when they get out, some treatment. They go into a treatment pod within our facility that's funded by through the Criminal Justice Commission. Well, that's gone. And so people oftentimes will say, well, the sheriff is just letting them go. They come and they go and they come and they go. To be very, very clear, that local control capability has been removed from me. I have two people inside the Josephine County Jail that I'm required by law and to give them space and computer areas. And their sole responsibility is to release people that are taken into custody but mostly lower level crimes. And that's very frustrating because it did take away local control.
Now we don't need names, but what organizations are we talking about here?
The state of Oregon. Yeah, it's the state of Oregon, Senate Bill 48.
State employees.
It's the bail, basically the Bail Reform Act that came out of Salem and Portland and Eugene, that was supported by the legislature. And in my opinion, it was absolutely terrible legislation. And it took away my ability to have an impact on our local bad actors. And sure, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to incarcerate somebody for a year for breaking a window and being drunk downtown, but I certainly am going to keep them off the street for 2 or 3 days before they would be let go. But I don't have that control anymore. They primarily keep just the very serious person-to-person crime type violent offenders, that sort of thing, the sex offenses. And a lot of those low-level people that really impact livability get back out on the streets. And that's very, very frustrating, not only to me, but all the other agencies. I would even speak for the city of Grants Pass. I'm sure they're frustrated to beat the band. So we're making moves to try and combat that. But that's probably news for another day.
All right. Well, news for another day. What is the capacity of the jail right now?
Well, I promised back in 2017 that I would go to 185, and I did.
And you got there.
And I got there immediately, and I had it for about 2 years, maybe 3 years, and it was at 185. Senate Bill 48, 110 came in. Deflection was was another thing. And so now I don't have the ability to keep one. I mean, I can keep 185. I'd fill it up today, 185 in tomorrow. But the rules and regulations by the state don't allow me to do that anymore. Now our population is about down to between 140 and 150. Is what we keep incarcerated on kind of the average. I would go. I still have the capacity for 185 if I could get there. And I just haven't, we haven't had that ability.
All right. Let me see. Because that jail was originally built to hold well over 200, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is that, that's what they say.
Is it a misnomer?
It's a misnomer. They say about, they say it'll hold 262. That's a big number. I think it probably could, but you'd have to really change operations within the jail. You'd have to hire a lot more personnel. You'd have to have one on, not one on one, but, you know, one individual deputy in each pod, in each cell holding area. It's just not really realistic for the money that they would take to do that. So you scale back, right? It's, you know, it's scale of economy and what we can afford. And so 185 is that kind of that, that sweet spot of where, under that, we can run in one way. Over that, we'd have to run at another, which would be much more expensive. But we're not there irregardless. We're, you know, like I said, 140, 150.
All right. How does that compare with what's happening in Jackson County? Because they just reduced their jail capacity, too, by what, about 20%? Is that
It's a funding issue. It's a funding issue.
Same situation you're in?
Pretty much. They didn't, you know, yeah, I mean, our citizens are going to see a renewal on the ballot in November. It's for 93 cents per thousand again. So that, and that says something. I can tell you 93 cents is not enough to run juvenile and our adult jail. So we're going to take about, I did the budget and I did the work. It's going to take about 89 cents per thousand for us to run the jail for the next 5 years at current staffing levels and at one, having the ability to hold 185. So we're going to ask for that again. The juvenile department is hopefully going to be supported initially by the commissioners and some general fund support, some forestry money.
Now you'll receive the juvenile department too.
No, I do not. That Director Scott Hyde does that.
And does
a very good job of it. But they're gonna, we're gonna have.
But to, your funding is tied.
You can't, 93 cents per thousand at this point after 10 years, you can't fund both at full capacity. There's no way at full staffing levels. So things are gonna change. And with the economy and the times, I think, you know, and wages and over 10 years, things are gonna change. So we're probably gonna be reaching out to the citizens for some type of support in the future for the juvenile department to keep that up and running. But that's, again, for another day.
That's for another day. Although, what are we're facing something on the ballot this time. That's the 93
cents. That's the 93 cents per thousand, correct. Of which 89 would go to the sheriff's office and 4 cents of that would go to the juvenile department.
4 cents to the juvenile department. But it's not enough for either one right now.
Not enough for both. Yes, it can support at 89 cents per thousand the jail for 5 years. I can almost guarantee that. But the juvenile is going to need some help. It's just the times after 10 years. That's a pretty good run, Chuck. That's the fact that we were able to keep it at 93 for 10 years is really great. We're asking for 93 again. But full disclosure, that's not going to be enough to fully fund both operations. I think there's an emphasis on the adult jail right now to get that stable, and then look to what kind of crumbs can we pick up for the juvenile to keep them up and running.
Was it Gary Richardson who came up with a suggestion you apply, go for a district in the future? It's too late to get that on the ballot this time. Is that correct?
That is correct. And it was Commissioner Richardson, in part, his concept. Not a bad concept. I don't see a bad with that. It definitely creates more stability. So that's altogether a possibility, and that is still in conversation.
All right. Sheriff, we talked about personnel and how that you've got people to come on board here and you're mm-hmm. still hiring, and it yeah. takes a long time to do that.
Yeah.
How do you go about selling Josephine County?
Well, you know, it's nice to try and find people that are local that understand Josephine County, because I think we're just a little bit different than a lot of other counties. We're not the big urban area, and we're not the completely, you know, Eastern Oregon rural area. So there's a fine balance there. I think a lot of it goes to the work that we do and the team that we have. That's really a lot of it. We're tight. We're a tight team. We certainly support each other, but I want people to know that their work is not just a paycheck. It's really a lifestyle. And when we look for people, we look for things and qualities, characteristics like that. And they come. And we find them. But we also obviously reach out. I mean, it's a statewide application, process, and we do at times get people from out of the area, and we just screen them and see if they're a good fit.
What's your reaction when they say, I might have an opportunity here in Josephine County?
What's their reaction?
Yeah. If I'm talking to somebody from Multnomah County, and I say, all right, I've got an opportunity here to pick up the sheriff's deputy position.
Well, honestly, to be frank, we really don't receive a lot of those because the money. Josephine County Sheriff's Office is vastly below all of our comparables in relation to geographically locally, way less than Jackson County, way less than Oregon State Police, way less than the city of Grants Pass. And there's a collective bargaining agreement going to be starting here very soon to see if maybe there can be some movement in that arena, which would help get us more of those type of applicants that want to get out of the rat race of a lot of different other big, huge agencies and the urban sprawl to come down to Josephine County and be able to drive a car around what is, in my opinion, probably one of the most beautiful counties in the state. We have it very, very good here, in my opinion. That's part of the offering.
All right, so that's how we're selling Josephine County. Is it's good duty? Is that a good phrase? Is it good duty?
Sure, it is.
Okay.
Sure it is. I mean, you're in a position to where you get to drive around and help people in a gorgeous community and environment, and that there's a draw there for sure. I don't think we were as regimented as probably some of the big organizations that are strict and pulling the dirt out under their officers' fingernails. But also, there's a fine balance with that, and so we got to keep tabs on our people all administratively and supervisory as well. There's probably a little more freedom in a sheriff's office. I've worked for the state police, I've worked for a city municipality, and now a sheriff's office, and I can tell you they're vastly different. They operate differently. There's a different mindset, so to speak, and a little more freedom to conduct business. However, obviously, there's always a line, and it's our responsibility to make sure that line's not crossed.
So the biggest line to overcome, the biggest deficit to overcome is pay, right now, to get them into Josephine County?
You know, for that draw, yes. I mean, just to be frank, yes. I mean, that's it's huge. I mean, I can tell you, I said it in the budget committee presentation this year, over the last 2 years. Just literally 2 years, I calculated the amount of money that was spent on personnel that left. And when I say they left, they only went to local Rogue Valley agencies. I didn't consider the ones that left to Springfield or Arizona or whatnot. And it was about 13. It cost Josephine County about $800,000 in the last 2 years in just literally training time of lost personnel. And that's, we got to stop that. We got to figure out a way to balance that out, because in my opinion, that's not acceptable. You're throwing good money after bad, and you lose these people to other agencies. Initially, it was for stability. I think the stability and the pay, both. But with the law enforcement service district coming in, and the stability has kind of been, the foundation's been built, that kind of went away. Now it's just the pay for people looking, in my opinion, elsewhere. I don't think there's one case where one person left and said, I want to go. They want to be able to raise their kids and have their wives or husbands stay at home, and not pay for that daycare in several circumstances. And I get it. And I don't I'm not upset with them for that. But I think there's a balance. I think we can keep some really good people if we can have just a little bit more love coming in the way of a pocketbook. But again, we're Josephine County, and I don't want to say that, we're going to ask for a huge thing, just something to get us close. And we're not close to our competitors, as I'll call them, and partners.
When you bring a new hire on, once they're qualified and on the street as a working deputy, do they make a commitment to stay for a certain amount of time?
No, they don't have to. We tried that to try and get some type of a contract to say, okay, you're going to come on, we're going to invest this amount of money into you. I want some return on investment. We can't legally do it in the state of Oregon. Other agencies, I think, have tried across the state, as well as paying some type of a hiring on stipend and say, hey, you got to pay it back if you leave in 2 years. Doesn't work that way anymore. So, really, no. I take it on a commitment in my interviews with them, for just their word that you're going to give me 3, 4, 5, 6 years before you would consider going somewhere else. Most of the time that works.
You do have a core that's pretty stable, though, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We do have a great core. I mean, the men and women that work in the organization are so dedicated to Josephine County, the ones that have stayed and the ones that have come and are helping to build. So we're very proud of that. But that goes on in the hiring process. That's why our hiring process is pretty grueling, to be honest with you. That's why it takes so long. The background, the psychological, the interviews, the panel interviews, the physical agility, the CorPat, ORPAT testing that they have to do, along with the personal evaluation profile test they have to take. It's it's a lot. It's a lot.
All right, you're listening to Sheriff Dave Daniel here on KAJO Radio. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass. News is coming up in a moment or two. We'll be back after the top of the hour news and invite your phone calls and your questions here for Sheriff Daniel. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass.
I would like...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff Dave Daniel is in on the hot seat today. And if you have a question or comment for the sheriff today, the number to call is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air that question or comment direct to Sheriff Daniel. Sheriff, we were just, as a matter of fact, talking, I think it was off mic, we mentioned after the weather forecast here that the Rogue River level is really low already at 1.59 feet here, and still we're not into July yet. And that doesn't pretend or doesn't hold well for the potential for fires. And you still wearing the hat as emergency manager? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. They asked me when the emergency manager left, they needed, before we could get a fill-in or a replacement, they called me up and asked me if I would be willing to do that. And yes, I took the interim emergency management position without much thought. There isn't a whole lot of people that could have the experience in that arena that I have had over the last, 11 years. So I took it.
So what does that really mean? What does it mean to you?
You know, I had no idea how big it was. It has been a lot to do and get things going. And, I guess this is a great opportunity. Thanks for giving me that to shout out to the public and say, hey, know your zone. Know where you're at. Citizens Alert. Get on the emergency management webpage and sign up for Citizen Alert. Let us, register. Let us know where you are. So in case of a fire catastrophe or an emergency, we can get you notified. We've already done that once already up on East Jones Creek and West Jones Creek. And it was scary. I mean, that thing took off and just got ripping, and it got ripping fast. And we had to go straight from, basically level ones to
move now
to move to level threes, go now. And that notification system just makes it so easy for us. Now, granted, our deputies in that scenario were going door to door. And we ended up hitting everybody. We ended up going to every door. So people were notified, but it just makes it so much easier if we can get people notified faster. So go to the website, please.
This is how you know your zone. When you say know your zone, the county is divided up into zones.
It is. It is. It's Genesis is the program, and it goes into different zonings. So when we can identify a problem in a geographic location, we can get the word out as fast as possible. We're obviously looking at a lot of different things, wind and size and speed and how hot and what kind of brush it is. So we make a lot of different decisions. And it's my responsibility as sheriff to authorize those. And so wearing both hats, I guess it streamlines it a little bit, but also makes it a little bit overwhelming. So please go to the emergency management website, people, and know your zone, know where you're at, get registered, and it's not cumbersome. Also,
is that on the county's website?
It is. Okay. It is on the Josephine County website under the emergency management. You can click on a button and get registered. It doesn't take long,
and you'll know your zone.
And you'll know your zone. And also, we also notify people on our sheriff's app. If you go to, it's a free app on your app store on your phone. It's Josephine County Sheriff. And we have an app that also hands out notifications, not quite as fast as Everbridge, which is the program that we do through emergency management, but you'll still get updates as well as other things that are going on in the county. So go to the app store and look up Josephine County Sheriff.
All right, Sheriff. Oh, what else do we need to know about your operation there? We've talked about recruitment. We've talked about marijuana. We've talked about the jail. Mm-hmm. Are we missing anything? We've talked about funding, and I know that talk can go on forever.
Well, there's one part of it I think that I want to try and reinvent is our resident deputy programs. That's been a goal of mine. We had them for a while, and due to staffing and loss of not being able to retain some. I had to pull back. I had to draw back. I want to get that going again. That's still a priority of mine, that outreach, that ability to go to a community meeting and talk to a deputy more often than just me going around and dealing with certain local problems in the Illinois Valley, for example, and then also the North Valley of, of Sunny Valley, Wolf Creek, Merlin, and then go south to the New Hope area and Murphy and Williams having another one. I think those are very valuable to us, and that is a goal of mine, and I have every intention on doing that. I also would like to see another.
What would it take to do that?
It's just staffing.
Yeah.
It's just staffing and time. Having somebody having the ability to be proactive and take a little time off. Right now we're burning the rubber off those wheels every day, every minute. And with four, staffing on at a time, you can only understand 1,600 square feet or miles, in Josephine County. It's go, go, go. And that's the way we operate. So that makes it difficult. So that's been part of the problem. So I foresee that in the future, up and coming with an increase in staffing levels.
I know we've talked about here, certainly in town, about Chief Hensman identifying areas where he will concentrate enforcement. Tell me about the county and where you're really have to focus on law enforcement what you can do to deter crime.
Right. Well, it's data driven. I mean, that's part of it. Where you get the calls for service, and we have those numbers and we analyze those numbers. I can tell you our highest call volume is in the Illinois Valley. That's where we get the most calls for service. So we do our best to get a couple people out there every day and every night to handle that caseload. Sometimes, you can't. Sometimes you get a major hot call. I got to send all four to the Valley. Sometimes I have to send four to Sunny Valley, Wolf Creek, and then I'm stuck there. So it's really a balancing act. And it's more or less, I guess, for lack of a better term, it's game time decision, where we're at right now. I think that can change in the future some more support. We can be a little more proactive, work on some of the livability issues better. Yet at the same time, and provide that emergency response that the citizens need and deserve.
All right. What about cooperation with other agencies, the local police, city police, the state police? What's the working relationships like?
People typically stay in their jurisdictions. I mean, the city stays primarily in their jurisdiction. That's what their taxpayers are paying for. We're going to, we can go in the city, but typically, we don't. I mean, we will offer support at times. Prime example, say they have an officer involved shooting or a major event where they're tied up. We will go into the city and handle all non-emergent calls or calls for service for them. And likewise, as long as it's not too far out, if we need help and we reach out, they're always willing to help us. We try to, there's a fine balance though of abuse and taking, resources away.
Is there an existing agreement? I know the fire agencies have an existing cooperative agreement.
Yeah, there's not really a major, an intergovernmental agreement per se. There is a major crimes agreement on major crimes. So for detectives, and that's kind of gone by the wayside over the years. I just had a conversation with an Oregon State Police Lieutenant in charge of their criminal division yesterday. Oregon State Police and us work very, very well together in that arena. Probably something better that the City of Grants Pass and we can do. But again, they pay for their services and they pay for our jail, and you got to be careful. But when the need arises, there's some type of emergency or crisis, that changes the game. That changes the playing field, and it's all hands on deck, and everybody helps everybody, and that's very, very important.
All right, so lines of demarcation just vanish when that happens.
Kind of, yeah. That's probably not a bad way to put it. It's all hands on deck.
All right. You're listening to the head of the Josephine County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Dave Daniel himself, right here on KAJO Radio, 99.7, 1270 on the AM band. We'll continue with our conversation with the sheriff right after this important message. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Sheriff Dave Daniel is here, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have a question or comment or a complaint even, the number to call is 541-472-1270, and the sheriff will answer you directly. Once again, when you hear the sound of the radio and you're coming back to your phone, you're next in line. Sheriff.
Complaints. Complaints, Chuck? Really?
Sure, we take them on.
Okay.
People have accused us of setting this up, and we don't. Anybody can use that phone here. That's the situation. Sheriff, I had the opportunity last year in December, I think it was, to go out and to your search and rescue headquarters, as a matter of fact, and enjoy some great chili. And we'll talk about search and rescue. But first of all, we do have a caller coming in. Good morning. You're on the air. You're on the air. You have a question or...
Oh, lost him.
All right. Give us a call back. Maybe I hit... No, I didn't hit the wrong button. I never hit the wrong buttons. But we had the opportunity to take a look at some of your search and rescue, which you ought, that's another hatchet you wear, is search and rescue here locally.
Yeah, it's a huge one.
Tell me about what happens with search and rescue, all of the facilities that you have, and what you need out there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I almost get emotional when I talk to those guys and gals. They are so professional in our search and rescue division, and they're big. I mean, they're big, and they're active. They do so many good things for us. They're constantly going out on missions looking for people or helping. And they were at the fire on West Jones Creek. They go down to Rainy Falls, and they pick up people that are injured. They help us try and find people lost up in the woods in Spencer Creek or just wherever. And
of course, you pay them big salaries,
don't
you? Oh,
yeah, yeah. Zero is a number, Chuck. Zero is a number. I told them last year I'm going to double their salary to double zeros. Zero. So, please, anybody out there, if you can make time in your life to do something very, very worthwhile and very positive for our community, it's not a, you know, and if you can't go on a call out, you just don't go, or you deny, you know, don't answer the response to the text that we send out. But we have so many different divisions within the search and rescue. I mean, you have the communications team, you have the drone team, you have the ATV team, you have the ground search team, you have the road team, we have, I mean, it just is.
That's an incredible facility out there.
It is. It's a great facility, and they keep it up, and they're so professional about it. It is amazing. So my hat's off to them and the volunteers as well. The volunteers that do road patrols and help us out in the courts, and man the substations. You know, those people are just amazing, and I my hat's off to them and thank them so much every time I see them just for doing what they do. And
you have big snow cats out there that are taken care of.
Yeah.
And what all do you have out there?
We got boats, we got you name it. I mean, snow cats, we got side by sides with both tracks and wheels. We alternate. Generators. I mean, you name it. I mean, we're prepping for disaster. I mean, we're prepping for the worst scenario. They have a motto, and I think that's very, it's very important. These things we do so others may live. And wow, what a saying. I mean, take that to heart. And that's exactly what they do. And they have saved lives. And in the terrible circumstances, they have to go out and maybe recover someone who was not as less fortunate. But it helps others, you know, move forward and live when somebody's recovered or be able to be brought home. So it's an emotional thing. And I just can't thank them enough.
All right. Do you have enough volunteers?
Never.
Okay, well.
Ever. I'll take as many as I can get.
Give me a phone number. How do I do it? What do I need to do to?
Well, you can go online at the sheriff's office as is one thing at our website. You can reach out to our search and rescue division direct. Just call the sheriff's office, 474-5123. We can put you in touch with the people that can give you the information that you need. We have, monthly meetings, maybe bi-monthly, but, and trainings. People are welcome to come visit those and talk to the search and rescue members, talk to our coordinator, who's the deputy, and get the information that they might need just to make a decision. You don't know until you know if it's right for you, or if you have the time, or what the commitment's going to be. So let's get those questions answered. And if you do, come on out.
Right. I did have that. I mentioned I'd had the opportunity last December, I believe it was, to go out on it. Uh-huh. Enjoy that. Yeah. And it's a great group. It's a congenial group. They're fun to be around, and they make great chili.
Yeah, we do. We do that every year. I've done that every year since I've been sheriff, is we have a chili cook-off. It's internal with our volunteers and employees only. It's a great event. Speaking of a great event, I want to throw a shout out real quick. There's a very, very unfortunate situation that took place within the Grants Pass Police Department in the form of one of their officers, Officer Craven. He's a canine officer, was diagnosed and is down with a very, 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 very severe illness, and they're having a fundraiser tomorrow at Code 4 Restaurant here, just not too far from your studio here, down there by the South Burger King, from 5 to 8. It's a 100% fundraiser, everything going to his family, his three kids, his wife, and just in support of them. There's also a GoFundMe page for Officer Craven, and you know, in this law enforcement field, we're all family, and it's a thin blue line, and I mean that. And so, if you could help, come out to Code 4 tomorrow, 5 to 8, and support Officer Craven in that event. And if you can make a small donation, every penny will go to such a great cause and a great man and family.
All right, crossing those law enforcement lines out there, tip of the hat, Sheriff. All of you stay tuned. We've got more to come right here on the Tuesday Talk Show. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show. Final stages here. We've still got time for a phone call or two. It's 541-472-1270 to ask Sheriff Dave Daniel a question. I've got him on the hot seat today. Now, Sheriff, we have a special weekend coming up here. And we've kind of alluded and talked around some of those things that might be impacting this weekend. We've got fireworks probably going on countywide. And I'm not sure of all of the laws there. Maybe you can bring us up to speed. But how do you plan for something like this? And do you have, is it all hands on deck for this weekend?
It's all hands on deck.
For your staff? What are you preparing for?
You just brace for impact. I mean, it's supposed to be 93 degrees ish on Saturday, and the weather forecast calls for breezy. I mean, you put 93 degrees and breezy, and the drought conditions we're in.
I had a spark,
and I did apply for to the public. I did apply for an emergency drought declaration through Governor Tina Kotek's office, and that has been granted and signed. What that does is it allows us to very quickly, within the push of a button from the governor's office, to enact the Conflagration Act and bring in resources literally from across the Western United States and beyond. And that's the purpose for that. So it's a preemptive kind of issue. But please, please, please be careful this weekend. I mean, our resources in Josephine County are already thin, and we got those conditions. And I just don't want to go back. We've been so – I'm knocking on wood right now. We've been so lucky over the last couple of years, but if you remember, you'd been around long enough before that, some of the catastrophic wildfires that we've had throughout the county, all over, are just devastating. And we just want to avoid that. So just do the things you need to do. Keep that shovel, keep that water near you. Watch your children very closely about what and where and what they're shooting off. Please keep it legal. Please keep it legal. I mean, I know there's many out there that want the 250 year anniversary for this great country. But we just got to be so careful here in Josephine County because we're already spread thin.
All right. Now, you said it's all hands on deck. Are there specific areas that you're talking about, or have you coordinated with, or I'm assuming that you're already in coordination with the ODF, Department of Forestry, for situations like that?
Yeah, Office of Emergency Management, Oregon Department of Forestry. For sure. And the fire, different agencies within the county. So we're all obviously in coordination, but it's really one of those things where we don't have the resources to just specifically hit one typical location. So it's kind of like not much different than patrol. You just, you know, you burn the rubber off the tires and you get to where you need to be. Just cause we just don't have that number of personnel, right now to be everywhere, obviously. And I don't know that we ever will. But we're certainly prepping for the worst case scenario.
All right, Sheriff, we're coming down to the end of the program right now, and we've talked about a lot of things that the Sheriff's Department is responsible for, does, and it's tremendous. It's incredible, the responsibilities that fall under that sheriff's hat there. What do people need to know? What do people need to take away from today's program to know about the Sheriff's Department and Sheriff Dave Daniel?
That's a great question, Chuck. Thanks for asking it. I mean, we're doing good. We are so grateful to this community for the support we've received. I hate to keep going back out and asking them. This time it's only renewal, but thank you, number one, to the citizens of Josephine County for supporting us both financially and mentally. We're not done. We're not done. We are moving forward. We have been moving forward for, you know, I don't know, 12 years. And it's just a process. So I also want to thank them for their patience. It takes time, and it's a busy business, and it's a intricate business. And there's so many moving parts. We're growing. We're growing and improving, and we're going to provide a better service to our citizens. There's no question in my mind. I'm not going anywhere with the promise that we will. So, you know, we have just really good people. And that's the bottom line. So we got to support them, support their activities. I know there's frustrations out there. There always is. And I'm quite frank, surprised that phone hasn't rung a few times with some of those frustrations. I was bracing for impact on that, but just know that we are trying. And if there is an issue, please let us know. I mean, if there's something that we're not doing right or something you think we should be doing better, let us know. Because if you don't raise the voice through our sheriff's office at 474-5123, we don't know. And what we don't know isn't going to help us. We can go data driven. We can be all the places that we think we need to be. But if there's maybe places we need to be also.
Just need more eyes and ears.
Well, and that's the citizens. And that's all we ever ask is just be the eyes and ears for our sheriff's office. And we'll do the heavy lifting. That's our job. But be those eyes and ears, find the bad actors, let us know if there's issues. You got that drug house, let us know. So we can at least attempt to get a handle on those situations that are really livability issues in part, that also spur and create some crime. And if we can get ahead of the game every time or as many times as possible, we love that. So please let us know.
All right. 911, obviously, for an emergency anytime, but the administrative number to get a hold of you, that you might need some attention, but not necessarily it's an emergency.
Yeah, non-emergent number, 474-5123. We got records individuals that'll take a call, spread information, see, asking for extra patrol. Remember, our volunteers, our search, will do, not search and rescue, but the volunteers will do home checks. If you're going to be out of town for 2, 3, 4, 5 days, and you'd like somebody to go drive by your house and do a walk around and check it out, we'll do that. We'll keep that confidential as well. That's a service that our volunteers provide. Among many others. Just 474-5123 and reach out, and we'll get you handled.
More volunteers?
Yeah, sure.
Tell 55123 again.
Sure. We'll point you in the right direction. Give us a call, and we'll get you to where you need to be.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the head of Josephine County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Dave Daniel. Sheriff, once again, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Chuck, it's a pleasure being here. Thank you so much. I always take the opportunity to try and inform our public and be as transparent as possible, and I think we accomplished some of that today.
All right, go out and catch a bad guy.
I'm on my way.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you've been listening to Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Celebrate this 250th anniversary of our great nation here this weekend with Independence Day, the 4th of July. Do it safely, do it soundly, but do it sincerely. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO.
Comfort is more than a feeling. It's the pride in knowing.